Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
You know, when Bing Crosby first recorded "I'll Be Home for Christmas" in 1943, I don't think this is what he had in mind. And yet here we are, home for Christmas. And you know what? We're so glad to be with you in your home throughout the entire month of December as we celebrate Christmas together and work towards Christmas Eve as it gets closer and closer. As a matter of fact, it's never been easier to come to church, never been easier to invite a friend. Just get out of bed with your pajamas on and let's worship. And so we're glad that you're with us today. I'm sure most of you have already heard the news that the BC Health Order that was in effect has been extended now until January the 8th, and so we will be meeting exclusively online until that time. But you know what? We're believing God for the very best in the new year. So would you pray with us? Would you pray for January? Let's believe that in the latter part of January, we'll be able to come back to live services once again here at Calvary. Obviously doing everything that we've put in place to keep everybody safe and perhaps with limited occupancy, but let's believe that we can welcome back our musicians and have our worship live again, that I can get back preaching live. And so that's what we're believing for, and we're already planning for that in the latter part of January. So we're continuing to trust the Lord. You know, 2021 is going to be a big comeback year. Comeback year for you, for our church, for our city, and for our nation. We've got a lot of ground to cover. But you know what? This year is not over yet. We've saved the best celebration to the last. And so we're excited, very excited about our upcoming Merry and Bright Christmas Candlelight Grand Celebration on the 24th. We've got two services, so make plans to figure out which one you're going to attend with your family. We've got one at 4:30, one at 6 p.m. So grab your candles, invite your friends, invite your family, gather your family together, because it's going to be a blast. Our Merry and Bright Christmas special on that night has got so many great things, so many great surprises that you're gonna love. And so we've got holiday carols that we'll be singing. We've got the Christmas story for the kids. Got a great inspirational message of hope in Jesus. We've got special musical guests, Rhythm and News. You don't want to miss that. And of course, our annual lighting of the candles here at Calvary with a little sprinkle of snow, because it wouldn't be Christmas Eve without a little bit of snow on Christmas Eve. And in the meantime, watch for our social media. Share it with everybody that you know. Let's spread the good news together. Can we? All of us, let's be a part of that. So today, we continue with episode 3 of our Merry and Bright message series that leads up to Christmas, as we've been kind of walking through and celebrating the season of Advent together. Each week, we've got another Calvary family. Haven't they been doing such an outstanding job each week reading our Advent readings and lighting a new candle as we kind of work towards the Christ candle on Christmas Eve? So well done to all of you. We're so proud of you. You're doing such a great job. Now, if you're joining us online, perhaps for the first time, maybe from outside of the city or outside of the province or the country, let us know in the chat. Would you tell us that you're here visiting with us today? We want to make you feel at home. And for all of you that are a part of our Calvary family, welcome to church. Good to have you today. So get your Bibles. We're going to jump into the Word of God this morning. You know, over the last couple weeks, we've been looking at the powerful themes of hope and peace. And today, we're going to look closer at the strength that's found in joy, in a message I'm calling a joy released. So would you pray with me? Let's have a quick word of prayer as we get into God's word today. Father, we thank you for the joy that is our strength, that it empowers us when we feel powerless. Today we celebrate that. We celebrate the joy that is found in you. Fill us to overflowing that we could share that joy with the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, that first Christmas when the angel spoke to the shepherds, the breaking news of the day was very clear, very simple. One word, joy. It was all about joy. Luke 2:10 says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. You know, one of the most common commands throughout the entire New Testament is to rejoice or to feel or to show and demonstrate great joy. The good news of great joy hasn't been canceled this year. It hasn't been lost down a memory hole, never to be seen again. It's very real. And that joy that's in Christ is alive and well. And for those of us that know him, it's very much alive within each one of our lives. But I think it's easy. It's easy these days, even as Christ followers, to kind of lose sight of it sometimes, to lose sight of the joy that's in Christmas, because we're surrounded by people who are just trying to survive and make it through another couple of weeks cooped up in their houses. 2 weeks turns into another 2 weeks. Those 4 weeks turn into 6 weeks, and it keeps going on and on and on. When will it ever end, right? We get to that point where that joy is hard to experience. But God says, don't forget, my joy, the joy that I give, can be released in you and through you in every situation, in every circumstance. So we need to hold on to it. We need to hold tightly to joy, the same joy that was in that first Christmas message, and let our lives so shine before men that they will see it and desire it, and that many can come to experience it. Would you pray with me this year? We're praying and believing for our Christmas Eve services that many would come to know Christ, that many would come to know Christ even today in our service. So let's keep believing, because Christmas is all about seeing the lost found, seeing light shine brightly in the darkness, especially now in a world that's thirsting for it like water in a desert, desperately wanting that hope and the reality of it. C.S. Lewis once said that joy is the serious business of heaven. And I think all of us would agree with that statement. You know, after moving our family from the East Coast to the West Coast, more than 15 years ago now, it's hard to believe time flies, but we kind of began to embrace what seemed like, for us, perpetual spring. And I kind of miss a white Christmas. In the East Coast, you tended to see more of the white stuff. And there's something about that snow that makes everybody feel inspired. Now, I certainly didn't mind exchanging my snow shovel for an umbrella. A little bit of rain, I can take that. Less shoveling snow. Don't miss it at all. But you know what? There's something about snow and the lights and everything that we see at the Christmas season that gives us this sense of romantic feelings, that Hallmark kind of view of the world. But if the romance and nostalgia become the substance in the pursuit of your holiday joy, then it really just becomes nothing more than a mirage. That as you get closer to it, quickly as it appears, it disappears with all that it promises. That's what Christmas has become for so many people, is a holiday fantasy, a mirage that they can't seem to get. They remember good things, but they can't seem to find that joy in the moment. And instead of joy being released in their lives, they feel a profound sense of emptiness. Now, believe it or not, this can also be true for believers. I've had people say, well, what are we going to do? Bonnie Henry has canceled Christmas. She sucked the joy right out of Christmas. What about our traditions? What about all our friends and the turkey and all the things that we do with so many people? Now we have to just stay home and do it with a smaller group. Well, listen, the pandemic can't steal your joy like the Grinch jamming it into a red sack and throwing it on his sleigh and riding out of town. That's not how it works. That joy is in you. It's deep within you. And so you need to stir it up. Because if our focus is on the traditions and all the trappings of Christmas, then our joy kind of short circuits at a certain point. So looking for joy in those things is kind of like finding a big package under your tree that says joy, and you pop the top and there's nothing in it. Many people experience that. And so if you want your joy void to be filled, that emptiness, and released in your life, we need to look less at a holiday and more to the one who's unspeakably full of joy, the indestructible one, the one who promises us that that joy can be in our lives wherever we go. See, the Father sent his Son as the fullness of God so that we who were filled with sin could be emptied of that sin and then filled with the strength through the joy of Almighty God. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy," or release it within my life, "in your presence with eternal pleasures at your right hand." John 15, verse 11 says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete or full." See, Christmas is for you to know Christ, to know his love, to be filled with the fullness of our joyful Heavenly Father. Things simply looking like or feeling like Christmas isn't what releases joy within us, especially if it doesn't help us to see or experience the Savior of the season. So I want to encourage you to take time over this season of Advent to quiet yourself and to embrace the good news of great joy that the angel proclaimed. You know, when we hear news that's not good, immediately we hope it's not true, right? Whether it's a medical diagnosis, whether it's something to do with our job, or somebody that we know and love and respect, and we hear something terrible, we hope, oh, please make that not be true. We hope that that bad news is not true. But when you hear good news, the opposite happens. We hope it's true. Somebody says, the vaccine is coming next month. The church is going to start meeting next month. Or maybe one of your loved ones, maybe your parents got a report from the doctor that's positive, that's a good report. When we hear good news, we hope that it's true. So if the message of Jesus is so good, and we know that it is, why don't more people lean into it and hope that it's true? Why do some people actually repel it? Again, when Jesus' birth was announced, it could have been announced with lots of pomp and ceremony. It could have been announced with lots of different words. But here's the headline. Here's the breaking news of the day. I bring you good news of great joy. That news will literally change your life. That's how good the news is. And a shocker for the day that it was for all people, not just for the religious, not just for the elite, not just for those that have it all together, that are healthy, not for this nationality and not that nationality. No, it's for all people. It's all inclusive because, let's face it, generally good news for one group of people is bad news for another group. Look at the election, right? One group is always happy. One group is always up in arms. But this news, this is incredible news. In fact, the news was so good that they titled the whole thing the gospel, which simply means the good story. Isn't that great? We didn't need an advertising agency to brand this for us, to come up with a creative name for this kind of news. We just called it what it was, the good story, the gospel. But again, if it's that good, why the resistance? Why do people still push back? Why wouldn't people who don't believe it's true wish that it was? Because the original version was so good, so compelling, that it was worth telling other people about because a joy was released when it was told. So what happened? What happened to the good news? Why don't those who don't believe have a wish in their heart that it could be true? And why do those who do believe seem reluctant to release it? Why do some Christ followers seem to want to keep it to themselves? Oh, my faith is private. That's not what the Bible says. It's a light. You need to let it shine. Why are those who claim to follow Christ and love what he loves, why are they just so compelled to share so much ridiculous, depressing nonsense on social media, and yet they can't be bothered to like or share the good news of great joy? Why is that? Why is that? Because over the years, I think the message of the gospel has become mixed. It's become added to. Many people have politicized the good news. Others have anti-intellectualized the good news. Some have monetized it. Some have weaponized it. Some have even internalized it. And by internalized, what I mean is that deep inside, they say, I believe it, but it doesn't affect the way that they live. It doesn't affect the way that they conduct themselves. Joy becomes a concept that many agree with, but never release in their lives. Some have even reduced the gospel to fire insurance, accepting Jesus because they're terrorized of what could come in the next life, while privatizing it in the way that they live. You see, it's not just about what you believe. It's about how you live your life. It's how you treat and love other people, how you release his great joy that's within you. You see, a self-serving gospel is not good news to anybody. It's not the way that it was designed. You can't pick and choose the parts of Scripture that you like and customize it so that it's suited to you and you alone. But what about me? Am I good news? What about you? If you're a follower of Christ, are you the good news of great joy to all people? Or just the people like you, the people that you like? Because I have a feeling, and I think you're smart enough to agree, that if we had gotten this right, that our communities, our city, our nation would be a much different place today. So we've got work to do. But that work is not something that we have to rely on ourselves to accomplish. It's the joy that gives us strength, that allows us to walk out the reality of what the gospel is. You see, one day Jesus was teaching those that had gathered to follow them, and he wanted to communicate to them who they really were, the significance of who they were in the age that they were living. That message that was clear in that moment is just as clear and pointed as it is to you and I today in 2020. Matthew 5, verses 14 and 16 says, you, all of you, you are the light of the world. Now understand, he was speaking to people in his day. So he was talking to them about being the light of the world. And for some of them, they would struggle to know, what world are you talking about? Not just Judea, not just Samaria. See, many of these people, their world consisted of 25 miles in every direction all around them. But you see, this word wasn't just for them. This word was to all people that would receive the good news of great joy, to you and I in the greater world. Let your light so shine before others. So as joy is released through Christ to you, you need to allow that joy to be released to other people so that we can glorify our Father who's in heaven. You see, suddenly those people who were hearing what Jesus was saying, and he was trying to convey to them that they had a light on the inside of them that people desperately needed as they groped around, confused in the darkness. And so for some, as they heard what he said, it was like a light went on inside of them. Suddenly they began to see themselves as God saw them, as he created them, just like you and I today. I want to close with this challenge. It's a simple one. Would you be the good news? Would you be the good news of great joy? Don't just believe it. Don't just accept it. Be it. You are the light of the world, so don't hide that great joy that's within your life. And don't say, well, I can't go inside, Pastor Steve. I can't go here and I can't go there. Well, listen, people are still going to get groceries. They're still shopping at the mall to buy gifts at Christmas time. If you want to be creative, you can do it. And you can do it and be safe and still share the gospel. Doesn't mean your witness shuts down for an entire year. We need to allow the gospel to shine because now, more than ever, it's probably some of the most difficult times that people have experienced in their lifetime. This is the hour that the good news of great joy needs to be proclaimed wherever we go. When you are the good news, a joy is released from your life that will change the world. God sent his son into the world to establish a brand new relationship, a brand new covenant between God and man. And on that very first Christmas, this brand new arrangement was announced like this. Luke 2, 10 and 11. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." What was that news? What was that incredible news that would bring that great joy? Here it is. The Savior. Yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. See, when that baby grew to become a man who then stepped onto the pages of history as Jesus of Nazareth, something happened. Joy was on the scene. He extended this simple invitation to everyone. That invitation still goes out to you today. And here's what he said: "Follow me. Follow me." That invitation was for the good people. That invitation is for the not-so-good people. That invitation is for people who never thought there was any good left on the planet anymore. That good news is for all of us. It's for you. So, was the message of Jesus good? You bet it was. It was better than good. It's a message that is filled with great joy, that's released in you. But God wants you to release that joy to others, so that we can influence the world that we live in, so that we can shine that light in the darkness. Let's pray. Father, today I pray for those that need to know you, that when that invitation is given to follow you, there are those watching today that say, "That's me. That's you today. Pray this simple prayer after me, and your life will be changed. Great joy will fill your heart, and you'll have a different purpose in what God's called you to do." Pray this prayer. If you've never prayed it before, if you've never experienced Christ for the first time as your Lord and Savior, pray this with me. "Lord Jesus, I thank you today that you have forgiven my sin, that you died on a cross for me, that you gave your life so that I could live mine. Be my Lord, be my Savior, and help me to share this great news, this gospel, the good story of great joy with people wherever I go." And Lord, I also pray today for every believer that, Lord, you would stir them up today. You would stir them not just to hide that light, especially in such a dark time, but they would let that light shine, that they would be the good news of great joy to all people, not just certain people, but to every person that you sent your son to die for. God, help us to see that take place in our city, in our nation, and in our world. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Amen. God bless you, Calvary. Have an amazing, amazing week. Start looking around to see who you can invite to our Merry and Bright Candlelight Grand Celebration on Christmas Eve. Two services, one at 4:30, one at 6 o'clock. Let's join together as a church. Let's light our candles, and in faith together, let's proclaim that great joy that is still changing the world. God's best to every one of you. I love you, and we'll see you again next Sunday.